Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is the February 15th, 2026 service at Plymouth, Transfiguration Sunday. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank. We begin with the hymn, Praise Ye the Lord, the Almighty.
Join me now in the call to worship. Our God is holy and mighty, a leader who loves justice, who establishes equity, honesty, and righteousness. God has done this.
We exalt you, O God. We worship at your footstool. You are holy.
Miriam, Moses, and Aaron were among those who served you, and Samuel was among those who called upon your name. They cried out to you, and you answered them.
We exalt you, O Lord, our God, and we worship you at your holy mountain, for you, O God, are holy.
Next is the hymn, Majesty.
Kingdom of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, Spirit, Spirit of Gentleness.
I'm reading Psalm 99. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Lord is King. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called his name. They cried to the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in a pillar of cloud. He kept their decrees and the statutes that he gave them. O Lord, our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Extol the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. On this Transfiguration Sunday, you've noticed that last week we were in Matthew chapter 3, before that Matthew chapter 1, and now jumping all the way into beyond the middle of the Gospel of Matthew. We pick up where Jesus goes up the hill with three of his closest disciples. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And then Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is so good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, and we can remain here." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying to them, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one of the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Every journey has a moment when we realize the road ahead is getting harder than the road behind us. And sometimes that realization comes to us in a very quiet way. Sometimes it comes through a diagnosis, a decision that we've made, or a loss that we are having. And sometimes in that, if we're paying attention, God meets us in that very moment. Not to remove the difficult road ahead, but to help us see clearly before we continue. That is what's happened on the mountain where Jesus is transfigured. Not as an escape, not as a reward, but a gift of clarity before the descent back into the valley. In our Gospel of Matthew, Matthew tells us that Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a high mountain by themselves. They don't go up that hill looking for glory. But suddenly they are brought into it. The moment is simply given to them. They're not achieving it. And suddenly, Jesus is transfigured before them. His face shines like the sun. His clothes become dazzling white. And prophets of the Old Testament, renowned prophets, Moses and Elijah, appear speaking with him. And for a brief moment, everything becomes crystal clear. This is who Jesus really is. This is where the story has been heading all along. Moses and Elijah do not compete with Jesus. They witness to him. With their appearing, they're giving indication that all they said, all they did, as great as it was in the Old Testament, is pointing to Jesus. Everything becomes clear. This is who Jesus really is. And this is where the story has been heading all along. Notice this. Jesus does not explain what they are seeing. There is no sermon, no interpretation to it, no instruction that's also a part of it. Sometimes God does not clarify our lives by giving us answers. Sometimes God clarifies our lives by showing us who God is in the midst of where we are. And there is the temptation to stay. We hear Peter put it into words, overwhelmed by this sense of what a great time this is, what a moment I am living through. How about we stay right here? That would be so excellent. I could put together some tents and we could be comfortable right here in this moment and hold on to it for a little longer. He wanted to preserve the clarity, to build something permanent around it just for a few moments. But the mountaintop and this experience of transfiguration is not meant to be a staying place. It is not meant to be home. It is meant to be a moment. And we often want a spiritual experience, a time when we feel very close to God, wherever that place is, we want it to last longer. We want it to be a destination and the fact that we have arrived there. But what God intends is that moment to be a preparation for what's ahead. Because before Peter can stop speaking about, I'll make little places for us to be comfortable. We can stay right here. A bright cloud overshadows them, a sign of God and God's holiness enshrouding them. And in that cloud, a voice speaks, "This is my son, my beloved, and with him I'm well pleased. Listen to him." The voice doesn't say, understand everything that will happen. The voice does not also say, avoid suffering ahead, but simply listen to him. Psalm 99 reminds us that is how God has always worked. God spoke to Moses and his brother Aaron, to Samuel. The people were not always faithful, but God was. God remained faithful even when the people faltered. So the transfiguration is not about perfect discipleship, us following our Savior and our leader faithfully. It is about a faithful God leading us. So when the disciples hear the voice, they fall to the ground in fear. And this is what holiness does when we encounter it honestly. We realize that God's holiness is not what we are. God's being is not something we are comfortable being in close proximity to. It reminds us that God is not manageable, not predictable, not under our control. But then Jesus does something remarkable. As the disciples have fallen to the ground, are now huddling in fear, eyes closed, perhaps arms and hands over their heads to protect themselves, Jesus comes to say, "Get up, do not be afraid." The holy God of Psalm 99 is not distant. This God draws near to us. When they do look up, it's only Jesus there. No cloud, no Moses and Elijah. They're gone. They see no one but Jesus alone. And then without ceremony, Jesus begins to lead them back down the hill that they've just climbed. The vision that they've had just ended. the calling itself to them does not. The transfiguration does not cancel what lies ahead, but it prepares them for it. So why does this moment matter? It matters as we look at the context of where this event falls in light of what's been going on before. Because before this passage, Jesus has begun to speak about how he was going to suffer and he's going to be arrested and he will die. And then the following chapters after this moment on the mountaintop, he will continue this journey toward Jerusalem. And the disciples know that when Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem, it will not be a happy end. It will be suffering and it will be death. The disciples are given this glimpse of who Jesus is. Not that they can stay on the mountain, but so they can survive what comes next in their lives, in Jesus' life. God gives clarity, not certainty. God gives light, but not the whole map. God gives enough to keep going. There's a modern story that echoes this truth very powerfully. It's the story of a young doctor, Dr. Paul Kalanithi. He's a neurosurgeon at Stanford. Young, accomplished, newly married. He's already served his internship there, finished his doctor training to become a surgeon, and then while there has finished his residency, and he has just begun to practice his craft as a neurosurgeon. He is diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer in his 30s. Later, he wrote a book about this. He wrote about this experience in this moment when breath becomes air. Early in his illness, Kalanithi describes sitting in a hospital room, looking at his own CT scans on the lighted screen. It's the same image he's seen years and interpreting for other patients, but these are his scans. And this is his body he's looking at. He knows exactly what he is seeing. And in that moment of realizing, my future is about to change, he says everything became clear. His old life, his old dreams are all gone. That life is over. And the future that he imagined, that he would be a doctor for much of his life and live many years, all of that gone. The road ahead, he knew, would involve suffering that he could not control. And yet, as he looked at those pictures of his own body and the cancer that was there already in stage 4, now for the first time discovered, he said, it wasn't a moment of despair. He described that moment as clarity. He realized that the question before him was no longer how to cure the disease. It had progressed far too far. But what it was how to live meaningfully with the time of life he had left. Yes, he would keep practicing medicine just as long as he could. Yes, he would continue being a husband to his wife, and he would love her as best he could. He could tell the truth. He would become a father. And fortunately, young Katie was born before he died, but he would become a father. And so the scan did not save him, but the clarity of the diagnosis did not remove his descent downward into the valley. It gave him direction. It gave him steadiness. Kalanithi later wrote that the meaning does not come from certainty about the future, but from seeing clearly enough to take the next faithful steps. Paul Kalanithi lived another 2 years before dying. But in those 2 years, it is said of him that he lived more life than many do in a long lifetime. So that is what happens on the Mountain of Transfiguration. The disciples are not shown future in detail. They're not spared any suffering ahead. They are given clarity about who Jesus is, and for them, that is enough. Most of us live in the valley, not on the mountain. We walk roads marked by uncertainty, by grief, by injustice, by fatigue. But sometimes, quite unexpectedly, God grants us a brief moment, a snapshot of clarity, a truth that once we've seen it, we can't unsee it, a calling that once we've heard this calling and tug on our lives, we can't ignore it. And with that, let me put in a little bit of notice that in my early youth life, you know to be raised in the church, the Catholic Church. And I had a sense of who God was, and God was out there, big, white-bearded, some kind of man type that would often shake his fingers when I would do wrong. That was my concept of who God was. And my prayer life was only uttered when I needed help, when I was desperate. And I remember one basketball practice when we were sent as young athletes to run the basketball court back and forth. You touch the line, come back, touch the other side, and on we would go. And I was out of gas. I was gasping for air at this point. And I uttered a prayer, "Lord, if you get me through this practice, I'll be in church every Sunday." I simply wanted the answer, God's answer to my prayer at that moment and in the need of that moment to be answered, that I'd get through the basketball practice. And as you can see me standing here, I did get through that basketball practice. And God's answer to my prayer also included me being in church every Sunday. Little did I know I was praying for my longtime future life, but here I am in church every Sunday. We can't ignore when God gives us a calling, when God gives us a presence that we cannot forget. Those moments do not last, but those moments are enough. They're enough for us to endure when the road gets really tough. They're enough for us to trust in a God who has met us again and again in those tough spots. It's enough to keep following. Psalm 99 proclaims that the Lord reigns, and that God loves justice, that God remains faithful even when we people falter. And the Transfiguration shows us what that reign looks like. The reign of God in our lives looks like Jesus walking down the mountain, heading toward what suffering will then come. And along the way, always along the way, choosing love over safety. That is the great God we serve. And this is the clarity we are given. So at this point, on this Transfiguration Sunday, we stand on the edge of Lent, those weeks that prepare us and lead up to Holy Week of Palm Sunday, and then the suffering that follows in that week, death and laid in the tomb, and then finally resurrection. We carry vision. We carry memory. We carry Jesus with us. And when the road ahead grows steep, we remember. We've seen who he is. We know who walks with us. And my friends, that is enough for the journey ahead. Amen.
Next is the hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Next is the hymn, Freely, Freely.
Thank you.
Saints in light, God's beloved, go from this place, empowered by the witness of Scripture, the truth-telling of the prophets, the teaching of our Savior, and the power of God revealed in Jesus Christ, and make manifest to one another. As we go from this place, we go knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit are with us now and will be with us always. Alleluia and Amen.